Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Shri Shri Guru Guranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Shri Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai. Namacharja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Shri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Tumana Devi Bhakti Devi Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishvavarena Srilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srimati Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Primanande. Some question?
Subhada Didi from Tomsk has long question.
Who does?
Subhada Didi from Tomsk.
Oh, yeah.
Dandavat Maharaj. We've heard that there are revealed pastimes of Krishna in Gokula Vrindavan on earth and unmanifested pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. Both are eternal and the Lord's associates accompany him there. Could you please clarify? Do the pastimes of the Lord Chaitanya also take place in unmanifested world of spiritual Navadvip? What about his numerous associates such as Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Rupa Goswami act? Are they presented in those unmanifested pastimes of Lord Chaitanya? How is it possible if they are eternal associates of Lord Krishna and other incarnations of the Lord? For example, Lalita Devi, does she exist in two forms, near Srimati Radharani and as Swarup Damodar, near Mahaprabhu? So her personality has two incarnations? Or Murari Gupta, who is Hanuman in Ram Lila, is he eternally in Ayodhya and, at the same time, in the spiritual Navadvip or not? Do all the associates of Lord Chaitanya from the earth accompany him in the spiritual world's pastimes? Also, we've heard that there is Navadvip in center of Goloka. Do the Lords Chaitanya and Nityananda live there? Does the Lord feel separation from himself there?
Actually, these are very complex subject matter. Because from our limited perspective here in the realm of time and space appears to be inconceivable. But as Krishna expands his devotees, they also can expand and participate in the various leelas of the Lord. So we hear from Kavi Karnapur, the Gora Guno Desha Deepika has alluded to in this question, and who is Srup Damodar in Gora Leela, is Lalita Sakhi in Krishna Leela, and so many others are mentioned. So, but how to have some conception, proper conception of this from our present position? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the example of the sun and the different ways we perceive the sun. That one sun we see, there's always from some place where you can appreciate that it is rising, that it is noon, that it is setting, and darkness, like midnight. So it's one sun, but according to the perspective of the observers, they're seeing sunrise, noon, sunset. And if we were to make a conference call at a particular time, in one place, someone could say that they're observing the sunrise. Simultaneously, someone in another location is saying, no, here we're observing a beautiful sunset. Someone else could say at the same time, no, this blazing hot sun is overhead. And someone else could say it's midnight black. And they would all be right from their perspective, what they're seeing. So one sun, but can show simultaneously in this context, eternally, that it's always rising. There's some place where you can appreciate that it's rising. So we can say in summary, it's eternally rising, eternally noon, eternally setting, eternally midnight, simultaneously, all the time. But one sun. So he's given us that example to help us understand from our position. So we will say that Krishna Leela is eternal. Ram Leela is eternal. Nrisinga Dev's pastime. Gaur Leela is eternal. And then we will hear that someone is participating in the Krishna Leela and simultaneously participating in Gaur Leela. It's beyond our present capacity to comprehend, but this example Kaviraj Goswami has given about the sun is helpful. And with reference to Goloka Vrindavan, Gokula Vrindavan. Sometimes the pastimes of this world are referred to as prapancha. That means within the world, within the universe. One concept put forward is that there's the pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan, and then they're manifest here as Gokula. But in the discussion we have with Srila Guru Maharaj, and he shares this opinion and attributes it to Jiva Goswami, and we can find some different evidence in different places. One, Garga Sangita, where when Krishna announces, informs Srimati Radharani of his desires to descend for the Krishna Leela pastimes in this world, she says that, like, I'm not going unless we can take all of our paraphernalia with us. Means Jamuna, Vrindavan, the cows, peacocks, everything that is there, said, I want to take all that. And she repeats this, says twice, to perhaps underscore the seriousness of her condition. So there are those who believe that actually the original is brought here. And Goloka is the extension or the satellite. So that not an extension or satellite of that, but rather the original is brought down into this plane, where Srila Guru Maharaj sometimes says, The infinite is moving amongst the finite as though he is one of them. And he said in another place, like, we know they have these shows, plays, and sometimes they take the show on the road, and it creates a lot of excitement in the village, you can say. So, one of the reasons that we have difficulty comprehending this is because at present we're situated in the realm of time and space, and the constraints of time and space are forever mindful in us. But we have to remember we're talking about the unconditioned world that is not constrained by relative consideration of time and space, distance, and such things. Also, we find in the Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, his commentary on the 10th canto, when Uddhava comes to Vrindavan, delivering his message on behalf of Krishna to Srimati Radharani and Brajagopis. And he's also meeting with Nanda, Yashoda, and others as is appropriate. Right? First meet with the Guru Varga, then he'll later approach the Brajagopis. But there are some very extreme descriptions of the sort of separation the devotees experience when Krishna leaves Vrindavan for Mathura, that they're unable to feed themselves, they neglect everything, everything is overgrown, their houses are full of cobwebs and dust, some people from the nearby village come and feed them something to eat every day, they're so shocked, they're so stunned. They let themselves go. They're not looking so beautiful and perfect. Many things are described about the effects of separation upon them, upon their forms and their homes and everything. That is very heartrending. But we're told that when Uddhava visits, that the birds are singing sweetly, as opposed to we've heard, the cows are crying and dying and separating. They're prancing, everyone's happy. The gopis are churning butter, milking cows, singing songs. Everything's perfectly happy when he comes, which seems to be in direct contradiction to all these other descriptions about the devastating effects that separation is having upon them. So in his purports, Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, actually, the pastimes of union and separation, they're running in parallel, constantly, eternally. This is inconceivable. Yet this is his explanation. So what to speak of the capacity of participating in two different leelas? Here in the same leela, union and separation running in parallel. So we're left with the consideration that as Krishna can expand himself for variegated pastimes, so can his eternal associates. So mentioned in that question, Hanuman Murari Gupta, Hanuman also Madhvacharya, Shiva, sometimes described as Advaita, sometimes Mahavishnu, sometimes Shiva. Shiva and Parvati appearing in Gaura Lila as two Brahmins in South India. Many things are described. So, we focus upon how things are being described and how they're being emphasized by the Guru Varga and our Acharya. If they've emphasized certain things, then we give our attention to that. But if we try to comprehend these things with the intellect, as Guru Maharaj told me once, he said, you will break your head. Muhyanti Yatsuraya says in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, even the devatas, they're bewildered. We have the Brahma Vimohan Leela, right? The bewilderment of Brahma. Indra Mohan. Indra is also bewildered. Shiva and Mohini Murti. Even Shiva is bewildered by Mohini Murti. So what to speak of what we as tiny, finite souls can comprehend of the infinite. And although it's not described in detail in any known literature to us, as and Svaita Dweep, Gaura Lila is there. But we're not given information about that other than the presence of Gaura Lila in Goloka Vrindavan. So rather we should focus our attention upon what is given. In Chaitanya Charitamritam, Chaitanya Bhagavat. The other day, it was yesterday, the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And we see his focus, he's thinking, he is the Vyas of Gaura Lila, presenting what was originally Chaitanya Mangal, became known in time as the Chaitanya Bhagavat. All the pastimes of Mahaprabhu with Nityananda Prabhu and Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Srivast Thakur, and all the others. Kolavecha Sridhar, Haridas Thakur. He is thinking, this happens. Sometimes Guru Maharaj describes him as the last disciple of Nityananda Prabhu. He told you he's also known as Narayani Nandan. Because when Narayani was a little girl, his mother, when she was a little girl, Mahaprabhu was very pleased with her. And Krishna Prem in her heart. And sometimes he would ask her to cry in Krishna Prem. Not ordinary crying, Krishna Premic crying. And she would cry. And it gave Mahaprabhu some joy. And he made sure that his remnants were given to her. Her devotion is so extraordinary and captured the heart of Mahaprabhu. And with no connection to that, later, her child is Vrindavan Das Thakur. Someone asked him, well, Narayani, she's praised so much. What about his father? Why not him? Guru Maharaj said, because the father was an atheist. So that's also possible. Mother's great devotee, child is great devotee, becomes a Vyasa Chaitanya Lila. Father, not so. No stereotype to be found here. So that Vrindavan Das, because only Goswamis, some of them lived for a long time, but Mahaprabhu and his intimate associates, they left after a short time. So Vrindavan Das Thakur would sometimes lament and think, all of these wonderful pastimes happened so recently. It would pull on his heart that, oh, although he's the vehicle for expressing all these things, he's expressing some divine lamentation that if he could have been born a little bit earlier. Because here we are, 500 years plus, in the aftermath of Mahaprabhu's appearance and pastimes. But think of those substantial devotees who appeared just after, like Narottam Thakur, and what pull upon their hearts. But that's somehow a wonderful and divine thing. So that plane, Jnane Priyasam Udapasana Manteva, it's not subject to intellectual analysis, actually, as given by Brahma. But by the mercy of the devotees, like Vrindavan Das Thakur, so many things he's revealing in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And he's also saying that many Vyasas in the future will reveal more. So Srila Gurudev referred to Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami as the Channa Vyas, as Mahaprabhu's Channa, hidden avatar. And he's Vyas, but like hidden. And how do you say, fulfilling the prophecy of Vrindavan Das Thakur, that other Vyas will come in the future and expound upon more of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So the reason I mentioned this now is to say that I told, we're only mentioned in summary form the representation of Gaura Lila and Goloka Vrindavan. But we can understand that another time more may be given of that for the class who's qualified to receive that, who has the eligibility to hear about that and appreciate it. What? Many things are mentioned in the Navadip Dham Parikrama and the Bhavataranga of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. More things that are inconceivable to us and are present. Limited capacity. Any other question?
Why is the sense of duty so powerful?
Sense of beauty?
Duty.
Or duty?
Duty.
D-U-T-Y. Okay.
Where does it originate from?
Mm. Why is it so powerful?
Yes.
Well, what comes to mind is people not acting dutifully. If it's so powerful, why don't they do that? Why don't we do that? Sometimes Srila Prabhupada referred to causeless unwillingness. Like we've heard of causeless mercy, and the other end is causeless unwillingness. But duty, that's not the best reason for adherence or faithfulness. Because implied there is some degree, maybe some degree of reluctance. But it's duty, so I have to do this. Maybe sometimes meaning like, but not that I want to, but I ought to. So it's, in the general sense, it's more of a sattva-gun type quality. Duty, obligation. Guru Maharaj told of this three thieves, where they take a man out into the depths of the dark forest jungle and rob him. And the one thief, in the mode of ignorance, says, now that we've got all his money, let's kill him and be finished with this matter. The second thief, who's in the mode of passion, says, like, no need to kill him. We got what we've run from him. Just let him go. But the thief, who's more influenced under the mode of goodness, said, but it's very dangerous here. If we just let him go, he might get harmed. There's so many animals. We should show him back to where we took him. We already got everything from him. Show him back to where he came from. He didn't want any harm to come to him. But all three of them are thieves. So the third one, he said, well, our duty, our responsibility is to see that he safely returns to the place that we kidnapped him from with the intention of robbing him. So in one place, Guru Maharaj talks about the reasons that someone might do something. I can't remember. Do you remember? There's like four, I thought. But duty or obligation is one. But he said the highest, that I remember, was affection. Love, affection. That we find to be most compelling. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna presents the duty argument to Arjuna. That means on the basis of his being a Kshatriya, his social position, and these things. So he's saying, you know, it's what you should do. Religiously speaking, from the point of view of duty, obligation, responsibility. But in the end, that's not what he tells him. And he says, sarva dharmam, because we can say, oh, duty, that's dharmic. He says, give up that too. That idea, give that up also. Sarva dharmam paritaja, mam ekam sharanam braja, and just surrender to me. And why should you do this? Because I want it. Because I want you to. Just like sometimes people say that in this world, the only thing is they're not Krishna. Remember that. And we'll say, because I said so, because I say, but you're not Krishna. That's reserved for Krishna. But he's saying, why should he do this? Because I want to, and I want it. And Guru Maharaj said sometimes that, he said, because Krishna is Swarat, declared again, the beginning of the Bhagavatam, first line, means independent. Well, that's not a very helpful word. But Guru Maharaj got a little more specific, saying that he is whimsical. And that's when we start to sweat or get nervous. He's saying, prepare to surrender yourselves to a whimsical Lord. And that doesn't sound good to us. Like, we shall be subjected to the whims of some other person. We want, you know, no taxation without representation. But he is the sweet absolute. His whim is good, is absolutely good for everyone. When Guru Maharaj, in response to one devotee's question, described Krishna as autocrat, despot, and liar. Right. So we can think that's a very unconventional way to praise the Lord. Autocrat, despot, and liar. And he's, for himself and by himself, again, declare, this is all in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, but Guru Maharaj is putting it in language that captures our attention, that arrests our attention. Because sometimes when we hear these other words, we have a tendency to just zone out on it. It sounds so abstract or so remote, irrelevant. It doesn't sound like what we're used to. Guru Maharaj's specialty is to bring it home, to make you feel it. And sometimes by using original language that's sometimes shocking or at least surprising, and then explaining and the natural reluctance that we have inside ourselves to accept such a thing is really addressing the point, right? Because we're suspicious of Krishna. Right? It's reasonable to be suspicious of the people in this world, including ourselves. Those are reasonable suspicions. But when we apply that to Krishna or divinity, it betrays how, what do you call it? The paucity of our, that's a high word, the paucity of, means how poor we are. Poor-hearted. Distrust, we distrust God. Okay. That's the sad, pathetic situation, right? Because our faith is not so evolved. So when we hear autocrat, despot, liar, that doesn't sound good. We're told we modern civilization is against all these things. Right? We favor democracy, that get a bunch of people like ourselves together and make decisions. That doesn't work in a kitchen, actually. In a kitchen, you will favor autocracy. Like the best cook should cook. Not that everyone should get together and vote on lunch. Or vote on more salt, less salt. Let's vote. Put it to a vote. No, there's certain places where we prefer autocracy. So Guru Maharaj's point is, he's caught our attention by using these words in a novel way. He's for himself and by himself, if he is truly the absolute. So, the despotism means if we check his autocracy, then we're losers because he's the absolute good. So despotism as applied to the absolute good becomes a good thing. It means there will be no check, no way of checking. And we can even see, in a highway, it just comes to mind because maybe it was mentioned there, Ram Lila. There's some constraint upon Krishna when he appears as the Ram avatar. Because he's a king and has to do what? Act dutifully. Right? And Krishna Leela, he's not constrained in that way. He can break the law. He's a lawbreaker. And that's absolute good. His thieving is praiseworthy. Right? So, despot, meaning there should be no check upon his self-expression, because he's the absolute good. Everything he does is good for everyone, under all circumstances. He is that. But so when Guru said this, so autocrat, despot, but that devotee went like, but liar? Like, okay, we can handle autocrat, despot, all right, you just, but liar? And Guru went, yes, because you're not ready to hear the truth. Like the man said, you can't handle the truth. We can't handle the truth. Parokshavadabedo yambalanam anushasanam. Even Emily Dickinson, she said nicely in one of her little rhyme poems, tell the truth and tell it slant, which already you have to go back to the 19th century to understand it. What she says is, the truth must dazzle gradually, lest all men become blind. That's the part I want to get to. In a sense, she's saying, because the truth is often compared to light. Saying, if you get too much of it one time, it's like a blinding light. She's saying, so the truth, like we have sunrise, we were talking about that. The truth should dazzle gradually, lest all men become blind. So we're given the truth incrementally. So Guru said, he's adopted the position of a liar because you can't handle the truth. So he's gradually revealing what the truth is. What was the question?
Why is the sense of duty so powerful?
Oh, the sense of duty. Why is it so powerful? I think what I'm trying to say here is love is more powerful that we have. And Krishna's all love. He's all good. So he says, Sarvadharmam paritajamam. Give up all of this. Whatever you think your duty is, give it up and surrender to me. This is the new law. Just surrender to me. And one example, we're told Yudhisthira Maharaj, who is the ultimate dutiful personality, cannot lie. And when he's told by Krishna to lie, just like Gaudiya Mata, told by Krishna to lie. He's hesitating because Ashwatthama, it will be a blow to the opposition to hear that Ashwatthama is dead. And Krishna, and they know Yudhisthira never lies, so they're saying, Yudhisthira, you must tell them that Ashwatthama is dead. And Yudhisthira, he's hesitating to do that. And we're told up to that point, his chariot never touches the ground. The wheels are always off the ground, above the ground. And when he hesitates to lie on Krishna's order, his chariot sinks. But then Krishna's very intelligent. They realize one elephant was dead on the battlefield. Elephants are like tanks. One elephant was dead. And the elephant's name was Ashwatthama. So they found out a way where you'll be telling the truth that Ashwatthama is dead. It just won't be that Ashwatthama. So these pastimes are there. But Krishna, he's willing to break his personal promises to keep intact the promise of his devotees. As we told with Bhishma, when he's accused of not fighting full force because of what's the word? remaining, no, there's another word. He still has affection for the Pandavas. So they're saying, because of that affection, he's not fighting at full force. And he's saying, you know, I will, tomorrow I will kill Arjun, or Krishna will have to break his promise. Because Krishna promised not to join in the fight. So tomorrow, because before that, he had these 5 hour arrows marked for the Pandavas. And when they meet at the end of the day, Krishna and they all come over, and their Kshatriya-like generosity, they're saying, what would you like us to do? Just say, like, you won the war. Have no more fighting, just say you won the war. If you ask for that, we'll give it to you. You win. But they can't ask for that. He's got those 5 hours, he's going to kill them all. And he said, no, that's not what we want. Anything you asked for? Or, well, one promise you made previously, I'd like to call that. What is that? Give me those 5 arrows. Like, oh. Then they're saying, oh, you have too much affection for these Pandavas. So he's saying, all right, then tomorrow Arjun dies or Krishna breaks his promise. One of these two things will happen by the end of the day. And when that time comes, we know that the chariot, he strikes with arrows the chariot of Krishna and Arjun. It goes down, one wheel flies off, and Bhishma Dev is going to kill Arjun. Without a doubt, it's the end of Arjun. And Krishna picks up that wheel, Eka Chakra. And he's so angry and starts running. Bhishma Dev is shooting arrows and they're hitting Krishna. But Vishwanath and others say, like, Krishna, because Bhishma Dev actually has so much love for Krishna, he's one of the 12 Mahajans, great devotee. Krishna feels they're like flower garlands. They're arrows, but they're like flower garlands being offered to him. And Krishna's so, he's carrying that wheel, he's going to crush Bhishma. And Bhishma's looking up, and we're told Krishna was so angry, his dhoti falls off while he's running, and he doesn't care. And all Bhishma can see is that Krishna, so angry, holding this chariot wheel like a chakra ready to crush him. And what does he say when ultimately he's lying on the bed of arrows? That, let that vision be the object of my vision eternal as I leave this world and beyond. That lover of the gopis, Krishna, when he came at me like that, that was so beautiful. I want to always remember that. But in our ordinary dealings, duty should be compelling. We do things because we should, because we ought to. Mode of ignorance is, you know, the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong place at the wrong person. Mode of goodness is the opposite of that. Doing the right thing. Doing one's duty. That should be our normal operating mode of operation. But when service necessity dictates, we can transcend that. Srila Gurudev mentioned in the aftermath of Saraswati Thakur's disappearance and the Gaudiya Math times, and they had some court cases, one side, the other side. When they had Srila Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj on the stand, and the lawyer got him to admit that he lied and cheated in the time of Saraswati Thakur on behalf of the Math. And one of Vasudev's, Ananta Vasudev Prabhu's group said, got very excited and said, now we got him. He just admitted, you know, in court that he lied, he cheated. He thought, now our side will be successful. This is the point we should take him down over. And Gurudev said, Ananta Vasudev Prabhu said, no, not over that. He said, that we worship. What he did in service to Saraswati Thakur, we worship that. So not over this point will we won't pursue that. Because it's something we admire. Arjapatam chihitva. The gopis in pursuance of Krishna, they're crossing over what is normally understood to be duty or obligation. Nothing can check the heart's flow toward Krishna. When that's what it is, not that we make up something and you know, call it for Krishna. But when it's genuine service necessity, nothing shall obstruct that. Any other question?
And she also meant by this question that on our level we don't have any genuine feelings, and so we are told that we should serve out of sense of duty. And what about this?
Yeah, that means following higher direction. Right? The novice, you know, musician, they have no or little feeling for what they're doing. They're told, do these exercises, follow this system, do these exercises, follow these lessons, and in time, some feeling will come to you. So we recognize, first of all, that there's a hierarchy of servitors. So service is descending into this plane. So Guru Maharaj said, what does it mean to be initiated? To put yourself under the guidance of a superior Vaishnava. That means to take direction. And we're factoring in that our own autonomy at this point is not real and cannot be trusted. We're under the influence of what? What Guru Maharaj called? Layers of acquired tendencies, acquired prejudice. So there is no genuine autonomy. So a new sort of intelligence or discriminating factor has to be imbibed by following the directions of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. And in time, those things will become more meaningful to us. And we may have some feeling about them that's trustworthy. So we'll find ourselves in particular circumstances where what we've heard, what we followed, as implied here, out of a sense of duty or obligation, has come to us, descended within us in a real and meaningful way. And at that point, it's not obligation, it's really the heart expressing itself properly. So Srila Guru Maharaj has said, we should not be overly confident in our own judgment or assessment of things. That leads us to take guidance from superiorly experienced, reliable devotees. At the same time, we're told to Hridayena Binugato Yudharmasta Nibodata, to trust the heart. But the heart that's beneath the layers of acquired prejudice, acquired tendency. You want that to express itself. Vidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva sanshaya. Shakarmani mayi drishte akhilatmati. The heart, there's a stranglehold of distraction and unwarranted, unwanted desires have a stranglehold on the heart. When they're released, then it becomes reliable. And you can see in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, even senior devotees, Sanatan Goswami, seeking advice from Jagadananda Pandit, who is his junior. Later, Mahaprabhu expressed his displeasure that Jagadananda Pandit had the audacity to advise Sanatan Goswami. But still, it's not lost upon us that Sanatan Goswami, the highest devotee, he's willing to consult, take counsel from someone junior to him. He's not thinking that everything he thinks will be necessarily the best thing. Mahaprabhu taking advice from Sanatan Goswami. And all of them from each other. That's the way of the Vaishnavas. According to Rupa Goswami, dadati, patigranati, guhyam akyati prichtati. Guhyam akyati prichtati means they reveal their hearts to one another, their secrets. They have some heart-to-heart exchange. But devotees, they have faith in other devotees. And that they're well-wishers and that they will give them good guidance, good advice, good nourishment. Anything else?
A question from Kunti Priya Didi.
Hare Krishna.
What is the ontological value of Brahma Samhita and Prematama Devastotram for the Rupa Nuga Sampradaya?
Well, Srila Guru Maharaj has put it this way, that as there are those who believe that Prema Bibharat was really written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but attributed to Jagadananda Pandit. So there are some, they say, the Brahma Sanghita so perfectly corroborates the position of the Gaudiyas and the Rupa Nuga line. They say, we suspect it is written by Mahaprabhu himself and attributed to Brahma. This is their contention. Not written by, it's so perfectly expressing these things that it must be written by Mahaprabhu himself for propagating this line. And Guru Maharaj's response to that was, he said, if the Brahma Sanghita was written by Mahaprabhu, it went up. If anything, it went up in value. That doesn't decrease its value. Right? It's even more valuable if it was written by Mahaprabhu. But the fact of the matter, Mahaprabhu tells us he found it was from Brahma. Right? So Mahaprabhu, we should think that he understands what is the Rupa Nuga line. And he says this is very important for us. We shouldn't think like, when we hear Rupa or Rupanuga, that it's always referring to some very, the higher literature of Rupa Goswami. But actually, this underscores the point. Try to understand how Brahma Sangita supports the Rupanuga line, and then you will have a better, more rounded, comprehensive conception of what is the Rupanuga line. So everything is there, including Gurudev. Like to quote many places, but particularly the ending, where, what is it, Yad Preshtam Asulabham Kempanar Bhakti Bhajam. This line is very significant. I didn't cite it perfectly there, but where it says, this plane, and here's how it's most relevant, this plane where, all movement is dance, all speech is song, katha ganam, natyam gamanam, api bhangshi priya shaki. It's talking about Goloka Vrindavan, the plane of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. It's saying, only the, I was quoting the end of Upadesamrita, but it echoes the similar. Vidantaste shanta. There's just to go back to the first. Bhaje svetadvipam tamaham ihi golokamitiyam. Then this line. Vidantaste shanta shiti virala chara katipaye. Saying, very few souls know this and can enter that plane. And this is what is said at the end of the Upadeshamrita, after so much praise, culminating the praise of bathing in the holy waters of Radhakunda. As Saraswati Thakur said, that's not water in the conventional sense. Radhakunda is Srimati Radharani in liquid form, represents the ultimate plane, the ultimate depth of self-sacrifice and self-giving tendency. Saying, bathe in the waters of that self-sacrifice. It says there that, and this is a plane, meaning the waters of Sri Radhakunda, that is verily, very rarely achieved, even by the Parama Prestha Sakis. It's the highest section of gopis. It's a rare achievement for them. So what are we to understand from that? Then what to speak of others? And previously were mentioned Narada, Uddhava, Premaika Bhaktas, Premaika Bhaktas. So I think this plane that is often in the modern world casually talked about by voyeuristic neophytes. Right? Saying the Parama Prestha Sakis, that is a rare achievement for them. Then how dare you speak about these things? As though it were something so easily attainable. Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo Vihaya Kaman Suchitam Dritam Brita. Mention the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, performed austerities for lifetimes in the Tapovan, and she couldn't gain entrance into the Rasa Leela. All these things have to be very carefully considered. As Guru Maharaj would say, quoting the aphorism, deserve, then desire. So why did Srila Saraswati Thakur give such a certificate to Srila Guru Maharaj as the Rupa Nugadhara, the one carrying the current of Rupa Goswami? He said, because he will not sell my things cheaply in the marketplace. Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. All of these connect. So it is something very achievable, but very rarely achieved. So Guru Maharaj's emphasis, being the Rupa Nugadhara, is modest, natural growth, not artificial hothouse ripening or any other means. That's what we take away from this. So it's our good fortune, by the grace of the Guru Varga, to hear of this prospect, of this possibility. And Guru Maharaj said, that should be enough for anyone. Once you realize what the prospect of possibility it is, then whether it's today, tomorrow, Yadvanshana Sri Lalana Charatama, lifetime, that's of no consequence to the servitor. And what is their, how do they express their gratitude? And the aspiration to serve that plane, not to prematurely enter there. That visa must be acquired. When do they give the visa? Your interest is already acknowledged, assumed. The visa is given when they determine that it's in the interest of that country, that plane, that world, to give you admission. And what is it? It's the Seva Mayoyam Loka. Are you an aspiring servitor? Not that we just find these things charming, appealing, and that. Do we actually want to serve the line, serve that plane? There a genuine service aspiration in our hearts? If there is, that will bring us in connection with that plane without a doubt. But not any other idea. No matter how noble sounding, enchanting, charming, genuine service necessity. They're expanding the service world. If the by service Sri Krishna Karshinichasa, the infinite comes under the control of the finite, who can be trusted with that type kind of capacity? The infinite will be under the control of the finite. That's what devotion gives. They have to be one in purpose. Which means not a trace amount of exploiting tendency in the heart of the aspiring servitor. When Bishwanath talks about Yoga Maya, Krishna indicates he wants to enjoy the Rasa Leela, and Yoga Maya surveying the available servitors and seeing who will be selected. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur said, it's like when the cook, the chef of a king, he wants to enjoy mangoes. So he sees there's a mango tree and he picks many mangoes. And then he sees that some of these mangoes are ready now to be enjoyed. And here's a mango, needs a little ripening. So he separates them into different groups. So he's saying Yoga Maya in a similar way, separates the different, these are ready to go now. And just as those mangoes that aren't ready to go at that point, they need some more ripening. So like usually by heat, sunlight, heat. What is the parallel? The fire of separation. To come that close to participating in the exalted pastimes of Krishna and be disallowed creates such a fire of separation in the heart of the servitor that if there was any unwanted element remaining, it's burned away. And then the next time they go. So if he's giving us insight into that plane, then what to speak of from our present position? It would be a ludicrous proposal. So here, knowing of this potential, this prospect, muktir hitvanyata rupam svaropena vivastiti, then the aspiring servitor will be very happy to give their full attention to the service opportunity before them. Therefore, pujala raghavat gaurava bhange. Always keeping that world above as worshipable and from one step removed, here offering the best version of ourselves in service. Hare Krishna. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha.
Gopal Govinda Ram. Shri Madhusudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Chandra Garadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhattara Gunath Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath Chai Kori Charana Vandan Jaha Hoite Vignanash Abhishta Puran Kandara Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevan Padarenu mora panchagras Echai go chai jabe braje kwelo vas Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakas Vrindavan Bolo Anande Bolo Hari Baja Vrindavan Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriya Thank you.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Shridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagawan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundarju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Sri Swarup Ramananda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Go Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jumuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tosi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Vishva Varenya Srila Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Madhacharya Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimala Vidut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.